Good afternoon, everyone. It's Tim Pichot, and as promised, we are going to get down to the bottom of what really happened in Syria. So one of the best sources that I've come across recently is a comedian in Syria. You know, go figure. You know, people in America get their news from comedians posing as journalists. But it's a guy named Treka. So that's T as in Timothy, R, E as in egg, K, A as in apple. So if you YouTube Treka, Syrian comedian, he's got a lot of good intel. And one of the things he speaks about is August 6, 2017. He talks about the origins of the Syria civil war. So I'm going to let this play for just a moment.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Treka, and today we're going to be talking about the Syrian crisis. Now, first of all, for your information, what is going on in Syria is not a civil war and was never a civil war. Every single time when I listen to the Western media talk about the situation in Syria, they always say it's a civil war or that the Syrian army are just randomly killing Syrian citizens in order to protect Bashar al-Assad. Now for your information, you have to understand that the Syrian army aren't Bashar al-Assad's homies. It's not like they all went to school together. The Syrian army are all Syrian citizens coming from every city, every religion, and every ethnic background in this country. And they're all united and are all fighting to protect Syria from several Islamic extremist groups that want to take over. Now look, there are several terrorist groups fighting in Syria. I mean, you have ISIS, you have Al-Qaeda, you have Jabhat al-Nusra, you have Ahrar al-Sham. I mean, they come in different names. But I personally like to call them assholes. Because, you know, they're all full of shit.
You full of shit, you understand that? You full of shit.
Now, what do these terrorists have in common? Well, they all share the same Wahhabi ideology. Now, what do they want? If you're thinking it's Bashar al-Assad, you're damn wrong. And you're
full of shit, you understand that? You full of shit.
What they want is to overthrow Syria's secular government and replace it with an Islamic law, aka Sharia law.
What the hell did you just say?
You know, the same law that Saudi Arabia has, a country where the penalty for apostasy and homosexuality is death, the country that stones women for committing adultery, a country that forces women to cover their body, a country that actually believes that beheading is an Olympic sport. I mean, we're talking about a country that has no women rights. I mean, women aren't even allowed to drive.
Now, that was filmed in 2017, so I think since then Saudi Arabia has gotten so progressive that I think they actually do let women drive cars now, and they're planning on it. I know they gave Sophia the Robot citizenship. It's also important to note that Saudi Arabia is also a country that funded Hillary Clinton. So, you know, so progressive, so, you know, so leftist. But now, you know, it was really disheartening for me to see Donald Trump, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's bowing, I guess it wasn't bowing down to them, but, you know, they all put their hand in that globe and that really weird, you know, staged event they had that little sword dance. And, you know, this is coming from a guy being Donald Trump, who, you know, was basically accusing them of 9/11, you know, day one of 9/11, he was saying that, you know, he didn't believe that it was just the planes that took down the buildings, and he was pushing for the release of the 28 pages. Those 28 pages actually did get released, although they were redacted. Even the unredacted stuff was bombshell. The media didn't cover that at all. And so it's really disheartening to see Trump having some sort of, you know, a complete 180 when it comes to Saudi Arabia. And another thing that's important to understand about the history of these attacks is you really have to go back to Libya. And after, and again, this is not going to be about Libya and Benghazi, but the weapons depot that was in Benghazi, they ended up shipping those weapons into Turkey. And then from Turkey, those weapons were then to go over into Syria. And that's why there was actually, no, I'm going to go look this up right now, but there was a false flag attack where the, I believe it was Erdogan, who is the, whatever they call themselves, president over in Turkey, was talking about having a false flag with his generals. And somehow the audio ended up getting captured. And I believe that's right around the time where they shut down the internet in Turkey. I believe this was also around the elections. Now, this was a while ago, so all this is off memory. And as this false flag is going down, our own little Johnny McCain happened to be over there as well. And so what they said on the tape, and again, this is going from memory, is that what they were planning on doing was dressing up their Turkish soldiers in Syrian garb or Syrian uniforms, and then having them attack a temple that was in Syria, but somehow it has some sort of connection to Turkey, as basically the pretext to then go over there and invade. And again, this was several years ago. This was during the Obama regime. So believe it or not, I was able to find actually an InfoWars clip where they are talking about this. So here we go.
About that leaked audio that unequivocally showed Turkish officials planning a false flag attack against their own country. We also exposed how the mainstream media didn't actually report about the contents of that leaked audio, only about the fact that the Turkish prime minister was planning on banning YouTube as he had already banned Twitter, calling the leaking of that audio as villainous and immoral. This is coming from a man who was planning a false flag attack against his own country. Well, because we reported on the actual contents of the audio, it sort of forced the media to then report on the contents. But of course, they've got their own spin on it. Now, even though this audio clearly states things like, "I'll make up a cause of war by ordering a missile attack on Turkey," spoken by the head of the Turkish intelligence, and there's also plans to attack the Suleiman Shah tomb with Al-Qaeda terrorists playing the role of patsy.
All right, so here we go. This was off of memory from over 4 years ago, and it says plans to attack the Suleiman Shah tomb, which is in Syria, but considered Turkish territory and guarded by Turkish special forces, and are also discussed with Al-Qaeda terrorists playing the role of patsy. So there you go. That's me going off memory from over 4 years ago, pretty much nailing that about 98%, but let's continue.
Al-Qaeda terrorists playing the role of patsies. Someone clearly states, we can also prepare an attack on Suleiman Shah tomb if necessary. So to be clear, this is confirmed audio. It represents caught red-handed concrete evidence of Turkish officials planning attacks on their own country. But how does the mainstream media spin this? Well, Reuters outright lied and said that the conversation appeared to center on a possible operation to secure the tomb of Suleiman Shah. In reality, that conversation was about attacking the tomb, and then a CNN report goes to great lengths in exploring how...
All right, that's enough of that. So, basically, and at the exact same time, you've got John McCain over there at the exact same time all this stuff is going on and vouching for all the, you know, quote-unquote moderate rebels. And so as we saw from Treka's first video, where he talked about, you know, the Syrians are actually relatively united. Again, you know, if you guys listened to, I believe it was two podcasts ago, where I talked about Syrian girl... forgot her actual name, it's like Mimi. If you guys type in Syrian girl, you'll know what I'm talking about. But, you know, her family was kicked out of Syria by, and were, you know, royalty in Syria and got kicked out by Assad. So if there's anyone who ever would have an axe to grind against Assad, it would be Mimi. I think it's Mimi El-Aram. Let me go look that up. Sorry, that was actually Mimi. It's not Mimi. It's Maram Sulsi. So I guess if you mix around all the letters, you might be able to get Mimi in there. Very pretty girl over there in Syria. And I've been listening to her probably, probably going back to 2012. She's been on Alex Jones before really the Syrian war really even kicked off, you know, before even the Libya war kicked off. You know, they were talking about how they would use, you know, Libya, destabilize that with all the Wahhabists they sent in over there. And then you've got, you know, Hillary Clinton. I said I wasn't going to get into Libya, but, you know, it's important to understand that Libya, and again, I'm not going to really get into it, but what they did was once they moved on from Libya, they brought the weapons into Turkey, then from Turkey brought the weapons into Syria, funded their Free Syrian Army, funded Al-Nusra Front. These groups were directly affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Even one of the groups in Libya, they were even called the Bin Laden Group. And, you know, and these are the same people that are, you know, ripping hearts out of Christians, you know, throwing Christians and gays off buildings, and these are the same people that, you know, all the liberals are funding, all the neocons are funding, Hillary Clinton is funding, you know, these are all the great so-called moderate rebels. And so at the same time, you know, this is when, you know, the big push to take the guns was going on back, you know, right around Sandy Hook time. The same time this is going down, trying to take guns away from Americans, here they are, you know, giving heavy artillery and, you know, anti-tank aircraft missiles to Al-Qaeda groups, and then they go and change the name from Al-Qaeda over to ISIS to go and confuse everybody. But, you know, this crisis over here was engineered by the West, and now we've got to, you know, everyone, you know, has to completely acquiesce to, you know, what they hear in the mainstream media when the mainstream media is constantly BS, you know, constantly it's made up. And one of the my internet does not want to seem to be working right now when I go to the Take the Red Pill Zero Hedge article, but I will have that linked in the show notes, but I do have it up on another computer, so we're all good. But actually, it looks like it's back up now, but, you know, it starts off by saying, you know, they lied about Iraq, and shows Colin Powell with the yellow cake. They lied about Libya. It shows Hillary Clinton, and it shows Nikki Haley about lying about Syria. And it's just so obvious when you've got people who are talking about, you know, babies being thrown out of incubators as the, you know, justification to have Iraq War One, and then weapons of mass destruction in Iraq for, you know, Iraq War Two, and then you've got, you know, all the nonsense and lying that went on when it came down to Muammar Gaddafi and Libya, and that this is, and I actually wrote a whole article on this. It came out in the WikiLeaks about how Libya had to do basically with, you know, stealing Muammar Gaddafi's gold, and also, you know, he was doing deals with the West, and I said I wasn't going to talk about that. It's already more than I wanted to say. And the article then goes on to then show, you know, heartbreaking images. And again, last podcast I was talking about Syria, I did mention that there was, you know, the godfather of yellow journalism was quoted as saying, you know, you show me the pictures and I'll give you the war, or something along those lines. So in this case, it shows, you know, a heartbreaking image of a child next to two makeshift graves, and he's sleeping next to the graves, and they're supposed to be his parents. And then, like, the next photo shows him giving, like, the peace sign and smiling. Then we all remember the little boy, and I can't remember the little boy's name off the top of my head, but, you know, for those of you who are watching this, so right now this is a podcast, but if you guys are watching the video for this, and let me actually go click on the image so that way we can see what this guy's name is. Okay, the little boy's name is Omran. So, I mean, I'm sure if you guys saw the images where, you know, it you know, he's just caked in rubble. His, you know, left side of his face is covered in blood. And Omran's father, I think when, you know, he was trying to help out other family members, basically the kid got snatched by, you know, the white helmets and the propagandists. And instead of actually treating him, you know, they're busy taking pictures. But here's some video from actually Omran's father, who they never actually, they used him as a justification to start the war, but then they actually never, you know, they do omit the fact that Omran's father is actually pro Assad, and so now they're using this as the pretext to attack Assad. Go figure.
I didn't ask for anything with regard to Omran. No media, no fame, nothing. They photographed him without my consent. I brought him back here so that no one would exploit him. I shaved his head. I even changed his name. I prevented him from going out in the street. So we came here and settled, and it was good. There was no disturbance at all.
And I'll have the video linked for everybody, you know, but it, you know, keeps going on and on. There's other videos just like that. Now, if we scroll down the Zero Hedge article a little more, it shows a guy who's being, you know, basically it's a stage crisis actor where, you know, they're there with the photos and the cameras to make sure it looks, you know, all dramatic. And then it shows him, you know, acting all normal just, you know, a few seconds later. But here's actually the video of them staging it, them being the white helmet staging it. So let's play this. We've got basically the crisis actors, white helmets, who are waiting for the queue to go. Here, it's relatively quiet in the background. Let's get the actors in place. Got the same gentleman who we just saw in the other picture, who was smiling, is now down on the ground, posing as... Okay, here we go. Then we have a picture of a little boy who looks like he's dead, covered in blood, and then like 2 seconds later he's up actually smiling. It looks like there's actually some chickens that would that were doing the blood, that made up the blood. Now we have a little rehearsal for a false flag attack where it shows the girls' skins. It shows basically makeup artists that are going in there, something like you'd see like in Halloween or, you know, a movie, and, you know, going in and giving them what looks like huge lacerations and blood, and basically these little girls who are posing for this, or in this case, one little girl who's posing for it. Then there's another video that shows Free Syrian Army jihadists training children to fake symptoms of nerve gas attacks, poisoning for fabricated false flag attacks. Again, this is all going to be linked into the show notes. Actually, here we go. Looks like it's about to play. Then there's another little girl who they're saying is, you know, running to survive. You know, all of her family's been killed, and it's not Hollywood. This is real in Syria. Hashtag save Aleppo. And then when you actually scroll down to the next video, it's actually something that is taken from a music video. And I don't know what's going on the internet today. It's being absolutely horrendous right now. So, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, because of government, that if we didn't have government in the way, we'd probably all have, you know, super fast upload and download speeds, probably 1 gig internet like they do in South Korea. But instead, you know, we've got to pay for this crappy service that's over here. But, you know, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir over here. You know, there's a ton of media on this page, ton of data points on this page. And it's obviously stuff that, you know, they themselves don't want you seeing. So, you know, in the interest of time, you know, I'll link this in the show notes. You guys can go over and watch this yourselves. And what I want to do now is I want to go play a video from Treka, who's the same guy who I just mentioned. Again, T-R-E-K-A, talking about the chemical attack in Douma. This happened April 8th. And again, he is a comedian that's trying to get his name out there as well. So, you know, I guess, you know, somewhat take it from a, you know, grain of salt. But, you know, so he does interject humor into here.
Happened here in Damascus, Syria. Now, this attack has killed at least 70 people. The majority of the victims were women and children. May their souls rest in peace. Now, what I found disturbing is that as soon as the chemical weapons were used, the mainstream media immediately started blaming the Syrian government without doing any investigation or having any single evidence. They say their source comes from the White Helmets, who on camera are humanitarians and behind the scenes are Wahhabi jihadists. They have already been exposed for staging fake events and fighting in line with jihadists. This is a video of the White Helmet staging an event. Enjoy!
Actually, as it turns out, it's the same video that we already played, so I'm going to stop this.
Wait. Now, today's chemical attack took place in Douma, an area in Eastern Ghouta that is under the control of an Islamic group called Jaish al-Islam, aka the Muslim Army. Check this out.
This is Jaish al-Islam, funded by the USA, UK, and GCC. Do they look like moderate rebels? Men and women in cages in Ghouta, used as human shields by Jaish al-Islam.
Now, I exposed who Jaish al-Islam are in the last video I did about Eastern Ghouta. I showed you how they throw missiles and rockets daily on civilian areas in Damascus. I showed you how they caged women. I showed you how they used innocent civilians as human shields. I also spoke about their Wahhabi ideology and their French toenails. So I'm sure by now you all know who these hairy baboons are. But how come the media and the West never considered the possibility that the people responsible for this chemical attack could be Jaish al-Islam? I mean, how come that possibility never crossed their minds? Now let me tell you something the mainstream media is also not telling you about. Recently, when the Syrian army liberated 90% of Eastern Ghouta, they found a chemical laboratory in one of Jaish al-Islam's buildings. Don't believe me? Check this out.
So this is a video from Eastern Ghouta, Syria. It shows Syrian government forces on Tuesday found a chemical weapons lab. Again, this was before the strikes in the central area of Eastern Ghouta. The lab on the second floor of the building is filled with bottles of liquid, and beakers and flasks used have been for experimental use. Again, if you guys are listening, I'm narrating a video. A board showing the procedures of manufacturing the chemical weapons stands among scattered items, and then it zooms in on a ball-shaped object in the middle of the room. It's actually a finished chemical weapon and highly dangerous. I'm having to read fast because the text is scrolling super fast, and of course right now there is no text. It shows a whole bunch of containers and labels that have the country of origin, and take a guess, that country of origin is Saudi Arabia, and some of the countries that are also involved are Turkey. Go figure.
All right, so here we're going to play a little bit more of the video. They have a long-term plan to use chemical weapons to frame the Syrian government forces.
Why was the media silent about this? The Syrian people were desperately trying to tell the world about this, but the mainstream media didn't give them any coverage. They didn't want to listen, and they didn't want their audience to know the truth about what is really going on in Syria.
Last week, Syrian Deputy Foreign Minister Dr. Faisal Miqdad held a press conference. The terrorist groups in Eastern Ghouta are plotting a chemical weapons explosion, and we use this to accuse the Syrian government forces of launching chemical weapons attacks. They have gathered the old people, women, and children from outside the area to stage the show.
Now
Western countries' frequent accusations of the Syrian government of launching chemical weapons actually pointed rebel groups to form schemes to set up the government, and has made it harder for the government to clear its name. Not that I really care about governments clearing their name.
Why wasn't the public informed about this? No, seriously, why?
Because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Every time I click on the news, I see them confirming that yes,
doesn't keep
it was
troops
the
there, doesn't keep a base there to keep check
100%.
On Russia.
I saw them with my eyes on Google Earth. Give me a break. Do you really think the Syrian army is dumb to use chemical weapons now? When they are advancing and after they have liberated 90% of Eastern Ghouta? When all that is remaining is Douma, an area that is smaller than a scorpion's vagina? I mean, think of it, why would the Syrian army use chemical weapons when a couple of days ago Donald Trump was saying that the American military will be leaving Syria like really soon?
And by the way, we're knocking the hell out of ISIS. We'll be coming out of Syria like very soon. Let the other people take care of it now. Very soon. Very soon we're coming out.
You know? Something is really fishy, just like my ex's yeast infection. Do you really want to convince me that the Syrian government was like having a meeting and he was observing their military advancement and progress and were like, you know what? Things are going great for us. Why don't we spice things up? Let us use chemical weapons on the people of Douma so that the media can demonize us and the West can attack us and destroy everything we worked for. Genius.
Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, science.
You know, this whole story to me is like a tampon. I just don't buy it. Anyways, that would be all for today. Thank you so much for watching. My name is Trayka. Please make sure to follow me on Facebook and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I wish you all peace.
Yeah, it's a shame that he only has, looks like 4,600 people following him. It's Trayka, and then it's space ZN. I believe that is the official one, but you know, also this is a comedian, so you know, he did throw some, you know, little jabs in there, you know, because you know, and they were pretty funny, but not to take away from what is actually going on over there. But you know, it's very telling that you've got a comedian that's actually putting out more real news than you know the fake news we have over here with you know the likes of CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and all the other ones out there. Now, the last thing I want to cover is another Zero Hedge article from the 17th of March 2018. Famed war reporter Robert Fisk reaches Syrian chemical weapons attack site, concludes they were not gassed. So it goes on basically to allege that what actually had happened over there is that there was heavy bombing, heavy shelling with more traditional type weapons, and you know, not that that's a great thing either. But if you just back up a little bit, you know, controversy did ensue when Fisk came out with his report because he's one of the most recognizable names in the past four decades of Middle East war reporting, having twice won the British Press Awards Journalist of the Year Award and a seven-time winner of the British Press Awards Foreign Correspondent of the Year. New York Times referred to him as probably the most famous foreign correspondent in Britain, while The Guardian called him one of the most famous journalists in the world. An Arabic speaker, Fisk became famous being one of among the few reporters in history to conduct face-to-face interviews with Osama bin Laden, which he did on three occasions between 1993 and 1997. Again, still reading from Zero Hedge. War stories, however, have a habit of growing darker. For the same 58-year-old senior Syrian doctor then adds, something profoundly uncomfortable. The patients, he says, were overcome not by gas, but by oxygen starvation in the rubbish-filled tunnels and basements in which they lived. And on a night of wind and heavy shelling that stirred up a dust storm. Fisk goes on to name the doctor Dr. Asim Rahabini, which is notable given the fact that all early reporting from Douma typically relied on unnamed doctors and anonymous opposition sources for early claims of a chlorine gas attack, lately morphed into an unverified mixed chlorine and sarin gas attack. The doctor's testimony is consistent with that well-known Syrian opposition group, Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, SOHR, which initially reported based on its own pro-rebel sourcing that heavy government bombardment of Douma City resulted in the collapse of homes and underground shelters, causing civilians in hiding to suffocate. According to SOHR, which has long been a key go-to source for mainstream media over the course of the war, 70 of them, women and children, have suffered suffocation as a result of the demolition of home basements over them due to heavy and intense shelling. Though outlets from The Guardian and Washington Post, New York Times have quoted SOHR on a near daily basis throughout the past 6 years of war, the anti-abolition outlets reporting of mass asphyxiation due to collapse of shelters has been notably absent from the same publications. Now, there is a video that does go along with this. Again, this is all going to be linked in the article, in the show notes. Then the article then goes on basically to give more evidence. But at this point, you know, all I'm saying is that I'm calling BS on the government story. You know, this was, you know, this attack, the attack by our government happened actually the day before the weapons inspectors were supposed to come. So, you know, it's very convenient that all of a sudden, you know, you blow up the crime scene and now you can't go and actually, you know, confirm any of those reports. And they also want to make it seem like it's, you know, impossible to make your own sarin gas or impossible to make your own chlorine gas. I mean, this stuff is not rocket science. You're talking with people that have actual rockets. And now, you know, it's not, you know, I'm sure that if I went and go Googled how to do this and make sure of Google, YouTube, other sources, maybe on the dark web, you know, probably within a day, I could go over to Home Depot and probably cook it up myself if I really wanted to. But, you know, that's obviously, you know, in case, you know, I'm being listened to by the NSA or FBI, I'm using this as an example for the fact that it's actually not that hard to do, and they make it seem like, you know, ooh, you know, this is, you know, such a sophisticated operation, you know, they had a chlorine gas attack. You know, I have actually some chlorine that's out by my hot tub right now, and they got some water that was in this jar with these little tablets, and if you actually open this up and you're near it, I mean, the smell is just, you know, it will probably like knock you out. So I've had to be really careful with this. I should probably just get rid of it and start over, but I guess I was cheap and it's, you know, well secured right now. But again, you know, this stuff is not rocket science, and really what I want to do is call BS on this, calling BS on, you know, all the other false flags that have happened. And all I'm saying is, if it's that important that we need to go bomb somebody, go to Congress, have them declare it. You know, there's several different instances where Donald Trump, you know, had tweeted out, you know, Obama, you know, is going to walk us into World War III. You know, he's an idiot for doing this. And, you know, big mistake, you know, not consulting Congress before, you know, striking Syria. Or if you're going to think about striking Syria, you better consult Congress because this is illegal. And, you know, this is not, we're out of money. You know, how can you do this? You know, and speaking of, you know, out of money, they have, you know, fiscal year 2018, you know, Donald Trump has already spent more than Obama did in Obama's last year. So, you know, Obama ran up the debt, you know, somewhere around the tune of, I think it was like 600, actually, you know, very fitting, $666 billion. And Trump, for the first half of this year, is already at 598. So, you know, the fiscal years, you know, the president, so like in 2009 fiscal year, you know, is really George Bush. You know, 2017 fiscal year really, you know, accounted for Obama because that was his budget. And 2018 fiscal year will actually be Trump's first fiscal year. And it's looking like he's on pace to do even worse. So, we, you know, guys who've been listening to me, definitely appreciate it. You know, the past 2 months have been, you know, really trying for myself, my family. Didn't think I'd have to be unemployed for this long, especially, you know, seeing how, you know, I did create my other company at the very end of 2015. And, you know, things finally were rocking and rolling over there, going real, real well, until I made this decision to, you know, not let somebody tell me that I couldn't talk about Bitcoin, not let somebody tell me that I couldn't talk about blockchain. And so I do see, you know, a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. And, you know, if you guys, you know, want to support me, want to support, you know, free independent media, you know, want to, you know, not only, you know, hopefully be able to protect yourself when all this economic stuff eventually occurs, but to actually prosper, you know, come give us a call. You know, you got info@thelibertyadvisor.com. And actually, you know, if you want to speak to me directly, you know, for right now, it's tim@thelibertyadvisor.com. You know, not ready to take on clients right this second because I'm not approved yet through the state of Arizona, which hopefully should be any day now. But, you know, hopefully the next time I talk to you guys, that will not be the case. It'll already be approved, and then we can get rocking and rolling. So we do have protected growth strategies we've been working on. We're not working on that. You know, basically, we're ready to launch these right now. The group that I'm teaming up with, they've been doing this for years. And so we can actually limit your downside losses to, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's say, 5%, and then have you get most of the upside gains to this. Because at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. They want to make sure that when the market's going up, they're participating in the upside, but when the market's going down, that they are saved. And if you are close to retirement, you know, you've got to check out, I've got a little micro site called sequenceofreturnrisk.com. I would highly, highly recommend checking that out. It's not salesy at all. It's straight up information, just like everything else I've been giving, straight up information to you guys. But, you know, I'll be able to do that along with, you know, if you guys know people who have big, sizable Bitcoin gains, crypto gains, that that they want to be able to protect those gains and avoid paying taxes. I said avoid, not evade. Right now, a lot of people are evading those taxes But, you know, if you're on the grid, you're on Coinbase, you're on Genesis, you're on Kraken, the man knows you have it, especially if you have gigantic gains in there. The NSA has been tracking this since 2013. And we've got ways where you can legally set up charitable trusts, legally set up foundations. Again, you know, a lot of disclosures on this. It's not going to be great for everybody. I probably have talked out, you know, probably five times more people talking them out of this than to talk them into it. Also, we've got self-directed IRAs. So you want to take your IRA, you want to take your retirement funds, kind of get it off the grid, get it off Wall Street. And again, I do, you know, use, you know, certain ETFs. I use traditional products. I use, you know, I can use a wide variety of products. And really, my only goal is making sure that you're going to hit your goal. There's lots of different ways to get to the same place. Some people are going to be more philosophically aligned to want to invest one way. Some people are going to be more philosophically aligned to invest the other way. I'll give you my honest opinion, what I think is going to be the best given you and your family situation. But anyways, you know, the website is still being worked on right now. It's live at thelibertyadvisor.com. We're looking at trying to get the blog because I'm trying to consolidate libertarianadvisor.com and thelibertyadvisor.com and get both of those consolidated into one. Because before, what happened was a lot of my retirement stuff was on one blog and then the political stuff was on the other. Well, now what's going to happen is, you know, like you see on most websites, I think it's better just to brand underneath one. If you want to see my politics, you can click on that tab. If you want to see when I talk about crypto, you can talk about that tab. If you want to see when I talk about investing or retirement, then you can click on those. I also will have a special section on how it's rigged where, you know, for those of you who have been following me, I do have, you know, a lot of different great articles on, you know, how the inflation rate's rigged, how the unemployment rate or the GDP or you really name it, how it's rigged, and you'll be able to get the podcast there. But if you guys could, you know, at the very, very least, you know, go and rate me on iTunes or any other platform you're listening to this on, I'd greatly appreciate it. But thank you very much. This is really important information to get out. I want to make sure that your kids and grandkids and great-grandchildren are not debt saved someday. And I also want to make sure that they're even around because of the nonsense that's going on, making sure that they're not going to be exposed to, you know, World War IV, you know, in a world where they're growing up, you know, in sticks and stones, assuming that we even make it out of this. Now, I want to add the caveat that I'm not trying to fearmonger with the if we even make it out of this point. You know, not saying that what happened in Syria the other day is going to lead to World War III, but, you know, it certainly is troubling. And, you know, I think that the more sure thing of what's going to happen is going to be this impending financial crisis. It's not going to happen like last time. You know, I've got plenty of other podcasts that you guys can listen to. You know, I would recommend The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News, or the one that is entitled, it was titled Episode 13, and then I realized, you know, that's not really that sexy of a title. Let's call it, you know, Why the Pension System, Why the Pension Funds Are Going to Crash. So I would check out those two. You know, also you got the one that's called, you know, The Government's Odds of Financial Success is Zero. Check out those three. Let me know. Again, you got tim@thelibertyadvisor.com, and hope to work with you guys in the future. Thank you.